The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
A few weeks ago, Elder Luke Hagler came and preached for us here at Zion Church. In this powerful sermon, he reminded us about the need for certain credentials in order to gain entry into certain places and events. But what about our entry into heaven? On what basis will we be allowed to enter the heavenly glory? Join us today for the first half of this sermon as Brother Luke reminds us that our entry into heaven is based solely upon the credentials of God's sovereign grace through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross.
This morning, before I get too deep into the sermon here, I want to lay a little bit of groundwork. Ultimately, I want to talk to you about grace this morning. But before I do that, I want to, clear some brush, or lay some groundwork that may help us understand that a little bit more. I want you to think about maybe some events that you have gone to before, maybe like It could be a football game, could be a baseball game, could be a concert, could be an amusement park, just any kind of event like that that you may go to and participate in. When you get up to the gate of those events, typically what does not happen, unless it is a free event, is you don't go up to the gate and just say, I'm here to watch the football game, and you just walk on through and go enjoy yourself. If you do that at, say, an Alabama football game, then there's going to be some security guards or some policemen there to escort you right back out, because you don't have, you know, the credentials there to go in. And, you know, what you're looking for is a ticket. You know, they want to see that you have either gone online or however you obtain those tickets, that they want to see that you have gone through the processes and that you've paid the price for the ticket so you can go into the ball game. You may think about if you're driving down the road and you get pulled over by a policeman and say that maybe you're speeding. First thing he's going to do is he's going to walk up to your car and he's going to ask for a few things. He's going to ask for your driver's license, and he's going to ask for your insurance, a copy of your insurance. Now, if you have those things, you're going to hand them to him, and he's going to look at those. He's probably going to go back to his patrol car, and he's going to maybe run your driver's license number and run your tag and just check everything out. And then he's going to come back, and, you know, hopefully you get a warning, but he may write you a ticket. But now, if he comes up to the window and he asks you for your driver's license, and you say, well, I'm sorry, I don't have a driver's license. And he may say, well, you mean you don't have it with you, or you just don't have one, period? And you say, I just don't have one, period. Well, then that's a little different animal right there. He's not going to go back to his patrol car and come up there with a warning. Chances are, Brother Bob, you can probably tell me a lot more about this than I can, haven't been there, but chances are, if you don't have that a driver's license, and you don't never had a driver's license, then he's going to say, you're not driving anymore. He's going to say, and you know, that you there's a test that we require. As the state, we require you to prove yourself through testing, through, you know, maybe when you're 16, you're going to go through there and you're going to drive with a policeman, and you're going to do all these little turns and all that kind of stuff, and you're going to prove that to them that you're a good, safe driver. You got to pass that test. They're going to give you a driver's license, and when that cop comes up to your window, you hand him that license, and that license says that I am suitable to be driving. When you graduate high school and you are walking across that stage or the football field or however the setup is, and you walk up there, and the principal most likely is going to hand you a diploma. And what is that diploma saying? That diploma says that, you know, you have met the right criteria. You have jumped through the right hoops. You've done everything you're supposed to do. You've passed the test, and you're suitable to hold this high school diploma. And when you go to, you know, maybe interview with the job one day, they may ask you about your high school experience, and they may ask you about where you graduated, and you're able to present that to them and say, this was given to me by an accredited school, and it is saying that I am suitable, that I have done everything I'm supposed to do to be considered a high school graduate. You may go park in a handicapped parking spot, and policeman may walk by, and he may look at your car, and he may see a little decal hanging off the front of your car, off your rearview mirror, that says that you have done the things that are necessary. You've gone to the doctor. You've had exams and all that to deem you worthy to be parking in that parking spot. Now, if you don't have that tag and you haven't gone through those things, and you choose to park in that spot, you're going to risk getting a ticket, and you're probably going to risk making some folks really mad if the right people pull up and you're parked in a handicap tag. I say all those things to say this: all throughout our life, there are things that people require of us to make us worthy to do something, worthy to drive, worthy to enter into a ball game, worthy to receive a diploma, worthy to park in a handicapped parking spot. We always have to present something, say, this is what makes me worthy of doing this, having this, or being a part of this. Now, I think back about my life, and if you're anything like me, there are certain, I guess you could call them milestones in your life, places that you're looking towards the future, things that you're anticipating coming, and they're just kind of big achievements for you. Like I think back, maybe, you know, the first one I could probably remember was, it was always a big deal when we were in elementary school, when you were going to pass over that threshold from being in elementary school to being in high school. Now, we didn't have a middle school. We just, you know, it was 7th through 12th grade, and we considered that high school. And so over one summer, you know, you're just an old elementary kid, you know, just and you know, there's no real, you know, just not real a real impressive badge to wear. But you just always think, man, I just can't wait till I can get in high school. Man, once I get into high school, that's just going to be different. It was a big milestone. It was a big moment in your life that you were just excited about getting to. And then you get in high school, and probably the next milestone that you've got on the horizon for you, you're thinking about, well, now, you know, graduating high school. You know, and you think, well, I'm just in the 7th grade right now. That seems like an eternity away. And just literally in a blink of an eye, you're graduating high school. And you may be graduating high school, and you sit back and you think back, I can remember just yesterday, I couldn't wait to get in high school. But I reached that milestone, and now this milestone has come. And then after you graduate high school, maybe you're thinking about graduating college. Maybe you're thinking about getting married. You know, that was I dated Tiffany all through junior high school. And we just always had on our horizon there, you know, that's going to be a big change, a big milestone in our life that you know, there's going to come a day, even when we were very young teenagers running around together, you know, and, you know, kind of winking at each other and all that ooey-gooey teenagey stuff. And we always thought there's going to come a day most likely that we will stand in front of a congregation and we will take the vows of marriage and we'll become husband and wife. Well, that day finally came. And then we began to think about there, you know, maybe if the Lord blesses, there's going to come a day where we're going to hold a child in our arms. And that day came that, you know, we had, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 children. And I say all that to say this, that time really goes by. You know, from you're thinking about junior high, you're thinking about high school, you're thinking about college, getting married, children. Then maybe, you know, for me, what's on the horizon for me now, you think about, well, I think about my kids, you know, I've got a senior now, and I think about my kids graduating from high school, and I think about, you know, retirement. I think about maybe grandkids coming one day. There are all those types of things on the horizon. One thing that is on our heart, and let me say this, when you're that kid wanting to transition into high school, does the thought of graduating high school, college, marriage, kids, does that not seem like an eternity away? Does it not seem like, man, it, like you get in junior high and you're in 7th grade and you think, man, I made it. This is going to last forever. This is going to be great. And then in 4 or 5 short years, that's gone. But on the front end of that, you think that is so far away. One thing that we have on our horizon is that there is coming a day, even if it seems like it is a million years away, there's coming a day that we will stand before God Almighty. That day's coming. You know, and the Bible speaks about, we don't know the day of our death. You know, I mean, that might be today for me. That might be 50 years from now for me. But just as surely as all those milestones in my life came, there is no escape. I will stand before God one day. Now, here's my question. When I stand before God one day, what makes me worthy and what makes me suitable to enter into His kingdom? In the same way that the University of Alabama requires me to have a ticket, the state of Alabama requires me to have a driver's license to prove that I'm worthy to drive. What makes me worthy to enter into the kingdom of an eternal God? Depending on what church you're in on any given Sunday morning, you're going to hear different things. You're going to hear one church say, this is what's required for you to enter into God's kingdom. Another church may say, this is what's required, or that's what's required.
you may find a dozen or more different ideas and beliefs on just exactly what has to be presented to the Lord in order to enter into His kingdom. Some churches may say, you know, baptism's got to be there. Some folks may say, you must be baptized. When you stand before God, and I realize that you know, my example here is certainly flawed. But when you stand before God, and if God were to ask you, on what merit, on what basis are you worthy to enter into my kingdom? Some will say He is wanting you to say, I was baptized. There'll be some that offer up all different types of things, and that is not a new thing. If you go back to the Bible and you look at, then I want to look at some of those things this morning. There are some that believe that simply your lineage, your nationality, that is all that it takes for you to be worthy to enter into the kingdom. Now, if you flip over to the book of John for just a second, in John the 8th chapter, we see an example of this. I thought this was just, you know, if you let me say it this way, just Bible time belief. But I remember watching a video a couple years ago, and it was a modern video, and it was people taking the Bible and trying to present that there is a certain race of people in the world today that the Bible backs up, that it is that race and that race only that will be in the eternal kingdom of God. So in their mind, they'll stand before God one day, and simply their race, their nationality, is going to be what makes them suitable to enter into the kingdom of God. That's not new. That's nothing new, because if you read in John the 8th chapter, the Bible says in verse 31, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if we continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Notice this. Again, on what merit here are they saying, I am worthy to be in the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom of God? They answered him, and they said, "We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Do you see what they're saying to him? How dare you tell me that I'm in some sort of bondage, and look, I'm Abraham's seed. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Jewish person. And that alone is what makes me free. You see, they were claiming nationality. They said it's my lineage, it's my heritage that makes me free. But the interesting thing is, if you read over in the book of Romans in the 9th chapter, in the 6th verse, notice this. Paul, as he writes to the church at Rome, he puts that idea to rest. He puts it to bed and says, that's not how it works. It says, not as though, in verse 6, Romans 9, 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. You see that? They were saying, well, we're Abraham's seed. Back off, Jesus. We're Abraham's seed. How dare you say that we've ever been in bondage to anything? And Paul writes here, just because you're Abraham's seed doesn't mean that you're a child of God. You can go on and you can read about how the Lord says the circumcision that the Jews carried as a token that made them worthy, He says, The circumcision is not an outward circumcision in the flesh, but it's a circumcision in the heart. And he is a Jew that is not one outwardly, but he is a Jew that is one inwardly and has had the circumcision of the heart. So he lays to rest here. You cannot stand before God and say, I am worthy to enter into your kingdom because I'm a Hebrew, I'm Jew, I'm white, I'm black, I'm Asian, whatever. He puts to bed here, that is not what makes us worthy. Some say that they will stand before God one day and they will profess their good works. And they'll say, it's my good works that make me worthy to enter into your kingdom. If you flip over to the book of Matthew for just a second. Matthew the 7th chapter, in verse 22, It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That's a pretty good work. And in thy name have cast out devils. Great work. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. You see, these people are standing before God saying, look at what I've done. Many will say to me in that day. People stand up there and say, I fed the poor. I volunteered at the soup kitchen, and I picked up trash along the highway, and I went and I babysat my brother's handicapped daughter, 6 days a week, and I did all these things, Lord. That's my ticket. That's what makes me worthy. Jesus says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So through the scriptures, I've laid to rest here. It is not your nationality. It is not your good works. Some people will say that, now stay with me on this one. Some people will say that it is my obedience to God's law that makes me worthy to enter into heaven. Now, this is real important here. The question then becomes, what is a law? Okay? Because the Bible tells us in Romans, the 3rd chapter, by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified in his sight. All right? So we're clear on that. You cannot stand before God and say, let me show you, I've got a card here that's been punched. You know, we go down to this little fishing store, And the boys get these little cards. And every time we go in and they buy something, the guy that owns it, he takes them and he punches the card. And we're in there so much, he said, guys, just let me keep your cards for you. He keeps our cards in his cash register. We're the only ones he does that for. Because we're in there so much, and picks up that card and he punches that, saying, you've been here, you've bought this. You get to heaven and you pull out a card and he said, Lord, look. Look at how many holes I've got punched in my card. Look at these laws that I've obeyed. But the Bible says no man is justified in his sight by the law. So it must be asked, what is a law? And I looked up the definition of law there in the Greek, and it is this. A law is a commandment producing a state approved by God. Stay with me on that one. A commandment producing a state approved by God. Now, here's where the rubber starts to really meet the road. Some men will say, it is my belief that makes me worthy to enter into heaven. Or it is my repentance that makes me worthy to enter into heaven. Do belief and repentance, are they commandments from God? Or are they just suggestions from God? Now think about that. If we can take the Bible and prove that belief and repentance are commandments, they're laws that generate a state approved by God, can't we say that those things are not what we offer God to make us worthy to enter into heaven? Now, that's just good logic. So let's look at it.
We're going to pause the message here for now. But we want you to join us again tomorrow, where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.